Every spring, in the wet meadows and ditches, I hear a little shrilling chorus which sounds, for all the world, like an endlessly reiterated, "We're here, we're here, we're here." And so they are, as frogs, of course. Confident little fellows. I suspect that to some greater ear than ours, man's optimistic pronouncements about his role and destiny may make a similar little ringing sound that travels a small way out into the night. It is only its nearness that is offensive. From the heights of a mountain or a marsh at evening, it blends, not too badly, with all the other sleepy voices that, in croaks or chirrups, are saying the same thing. That was Lauren Isley. The book is The Immense Journey, first copyright, 1946, and published in 1957. I picked the book up recently at Neal's Mall and was surprised that I'd never read it, because I've been a bit of a naturalist myself since childhood. Isley's writing expresses poetically what I wish I could say about nature. My father was a cartoonist. He did the widely syndicated adventure comic strip Dickie Dare, but his real love was landscape painting, and by the time I was born, he'd bought 100 acres in the Hudson Valley in New York State to be able to paint outdoors when his tight schedule allowed. As a boy, I wandered for hours in the woods. The songs of birds and the tapping of woodpeckers echoed through the open, airy space under the deciduous leaf canopy. I can well relate to the setting of this next story by Isley. I have said that I saw a judgment upon life, and that it was not passed by men. Those who stare at birds in cages or who test minds by their closeness to our own may not care for it. It comes from far away, out of my past, in a place of pouring waters and green leaves. I shall never see an episode like it again if I live to be 100, nor do I think that one man in a million has ever seen it, because man is an intruder into such silences. The light must be right, and the observer must remain unseen. No man sets up such an experiment. What he sees by chance. You may put it that I had come over a mountain, that I had slogged through fern and pine needles for half a long day, and that on the edge of a little glade with one long crooked branch extending across it, I had sat down to rest with my back against a stump. Through accident, I was concealed from the glade, although I could see into it perfectly. The sun was warm there, and the murmurs of forest life blurred softly away into my sleep. When I awoke, dimly aware of some commotion and outcry in the clearing, the light was slanting down through the pines in such a way that the glade was lit like some vast cathedral. I could see the dust motes of wood pollen in the long shaft of light, and there, on the extended branch, sat an enormous raven with a red and squirming nestling in its beak. The sound that awoke me was the outraged cries of the nestling's parents, who flew helplessly in circles about the clearing. The sleek black monster was indifferent to them. He gulped, wetted his beak on the dead branch a moment, and sat still. Up to that point, the little tragedy had followed the usual pattern. But suddenly, out of all that area of woodland, a soft sound of complaint began to rise. Into the glade fluttered small birds of half a dozen varieties, drawn by the anguished outcries of the tiny parents. No one dared to attack the raven, but they cried there in some instinctive common misery, the bereaved and the unbereaved. The glade filled with their soft rustling and their cries. They fluttered as though to point their wings at the murderer. There was a dim, intangible ethic he had violated that they knew. He was a bird of death. And he, the murderer, the blackbird at the heart of life, sat on there, glistening in the common light, formidable, unmoving, unperturbed, untouchable. The sighing died. It was then I saw the judgment. It was the judgment of life against death. I will never see it again so forcefully presented. I will never hear it again in notes so tragically prolonged. For in the midst of protest, they forgot the violence. There, in that clearing, the crystal note of a song sparrow lifted hesitantly in the hush. And finally, after painful fluttering, another took the song, and then another, the song passing from one bird to another, doubtfully at first, as though some evil thing were being slowly forgotten, till suddenly they took heart and sang from many throats, joyously together, as birds are known to sing. They sang because life is sweet and sunlight beautiful. They sang under the brooding shadow of the raven. In simple truth, they had forgotten the raven, for they were the singers of life, and not of death. Lauren Isley's birds lived in the moment. When their mourning was done, the underlying joy of being alive shone again. To my mind, it is Isley's ability to express his joy in all of life that was his greatest gift, and his gift to the rest of us. Here again is Isley in The Immense Journey. Down how many roads among the stars must man propel himself in search of the final secret? The journey is difficult, immense, at times impossible, yet that will not deter some of us from attempting it. We cannot know all that has happened in the past or the reason for all of these events, any more than we can with surety discern what lies ahead. We have joined the caravan, you might say, at a certain point. That's how I feel. I've joined the caravan. The Isley headstone in West Laurel Hill Cemetery in Ballasinwood, Pennsylvania, reads like this. We loved the earth, but could not stay. I'm John Waugh, and this is My Two Cents. All opinions are mine and Lauren's. You can hear me at 10:01 p.m. Saturday evening, 3:45 p.m. Sunday afternoon, and 9:45 a.m. Tuesday morning. Send me email at kloijohn@gmail.com. Isley's writing evokes in me a feeling of the rightness of the natural world in a way no other author does. Oddly, perhaps, I get to a similar place, closing my eyes and listening to the music of Ray Lynch. He, too, has joined the caravan. The following selection, The Music of What Happens, can be downloaded for free from raylynch.com, as can many other tracks and samples. For more Ray, check out raylynch.com. For more Lauren Isley, visit the library or put your order in at Neil's Mall. Have a Lopesian day, which is to say, fabulous.